Amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. I really do love what I'm feeling in here today. There truly is nothing like being in the presence of the Almighty God. Nothing like it. Nothing that can compare to being in the presence of God. And I've been experiencing the presence of God all week, as we all should. One of the things that I love about our God is that He is Emmanuel, that He is God with us. And that despite what trials or tribulations that we may face, that He is always with us in the midst of the storm, and that He never leaves us nor He forsakes us. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms 23. We'll read a very familiar passage of Scripture. I'm sure that you've all heard and read before. The Lord kind of gave me a different take on it, which I'd like to share with you. And as you are turning, I just want to testify of the goodness of the Lord. That the last time that I preached, I talked about how God is a supplier, that He is a provider. And just last week that my van, it broke down. It had some very expensive repairs. And when we found out what the bill was going to be, we were a little bit concerned. It was a $560 repair bill. And so my wife and I, we did have some savings that we were trying to save for something else. And just like that, God opened a door where my best friend, Brother Eric and Sister Jen, heard of our situation, and they paid the bill for us. I'm telling you, that's just God. And it's been like this during this entire 6 months that I've been unemployed and have not really had a steady income. But God has just provided and provided and provided. I don't know how He does it. He just does it. He always finds a way. And I just have to thank Him for His goodness for doing so. He is a provider. I'm sure you have Psalms 23 by now. If you do, say amen. Psalm 23 verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I want to put your focus on verse number 3, as that will be the primary verse I'll be deriving my title for the message, where it says, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." I want to preach to you a message simply entitled, "For His name's sake." For His name's sake. I feel the Holy Ghost in here today. God's wanting to do something special today, folks. I hope you guys came ready, because God wants to do something today. It has nothing to do with me. I'm not some special guy. I'm just a guy that loves Jesus. And because Jesus is here, anything is possible. With men, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Let us pray today. Lord Jesus, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Father, for Your goodness and for Your mercy. Thank You, God, because Your word is true. That God, when You speak, oh God, that it happens. That He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Thank You, God, for the word of everlasting life. God, that You would even grace us with the opportunity to even hear Your word. God, that when you spoke that darkness produced light. That when You spoke, the storms were quieted and they were stilled by Your word. Thank You, God, for Your word. That You sent Your word and healed us and delivered us from our destruction. God, that by Your word that sicknesses can be healed. That by Your word marriages can be restored. God, that by the power of Your word, oh God, cancers can be removed from bodies. That by Your word, God, food is on my table. God, I thank You for Your word. God, that Your word is true and that Your word is steadfast. That heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. It shall not return unto me void. Thank You, God, for the sovereign word. For thus says the Lord, thank You, God, that You speak even to sinful man. And even now, right now, God, we deploy Your word in this atmosphere, that Your word would arrest the hearts of the hearers, that You would even pull people out of darkness and into Your mind. marvelous life. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. God, that one word spoken to me healed my body. One word removed my sin and transgression. Thank you, God, for the word of the living God. Oh, God, for your words are spirit and they are life. We thank you right now for the word, and we declare and decree your word to have preeminence in this place, and we worship you for what you're doing, for what you're going to do. We give you all the praise and the glory, and in Jesus' name, let the church of the living God say amen. Thank you, God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the word. I'm sorry that just kind of came out of nowhere. I was trying to thank God for something else, but just the word. There is not a reverence for the word anymore. We need to thank God. Every time you're reading the words of Scripture, you're reading Almighty God speaking to you. What an amazing reality. That had nothing to do with my message. It's just I've been on that lately, just rejoicing in the word. But I want to talk to you today about the power of a good name. About the power of a good name and a good reputation. About 8 years ago, it was in April of 2010, there was a manufacturing company by the name of British Petroleum, BP, and they had an oil spill that devastated the Gulf of Mexico. And their company went through a horrible time. Their name was tarnished, their reputation was tarnished for being basically lackadaisical in their safety procedures, and that they tried everything they could do to clean up the mess and also to even restore their faith from their customer base as far as being a good company. And they worked for years diligently trying to do that. It's very difficult to recover from a difficult name, but even a difficult reputation. But even despite that horrendous issue that they had, they've overcome that and they've become a successful company again. That their company went through a bit of a test regarding as far as, does it have any integrity? Does the brand still have integrity to compel customers to even to shop with us? As a matter of fact, any particular company, any particular manufacturer that has a product has to take its products through testing. They have to do quality checks, and they have to do all sorts of analysis and evaluations and testing and research and design and development in order to make sure that the product that they are selling, that they are giving to a consumer, is a high-quality product. Because if you ever bought a very low-quality product and it was garbage, you don't want to buy that anymore. And then if word gets out that your product is terrible, that it fails, it's not of a good quality, then eventually no one will want to associate with you anymore, and nobody will want to buy your product, and eventually your company will go down in ruins. It's very imperative that a company maintains a good reputation. It's also the same even with the body of Christ, that we maintain a good reputation, and that we have, and also as a product of Jesus Christ, that we also sometimes we go through some testing. Now, in Psalms 23, there are some realities I want to kind of bring to your attention. One of which, that Psalms 23, although this was a psalm written by David referring to his experience and his relationship with God, I want to look at it from a different perspective here today, that I also believe that Psalms 23 describes the process in which we all as believers in Christ go through from initial salvation to eventual spiritual maturity. That we started a beginning phase, and God has to lead us through this process of development till eventually we arrive at a place of maturity. So number one, I should say, that Christ finds us whenever we're talking about salvation. Christ finds us, and we recognize him as being our Savior. He then fulfills all the needs of our sinful soul. We read in Psalm 23:1, the main text that I started off with, which says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." When someone is coming to God, there is a revelation that occurs. There is a realization of God truly being the one that can take us out of the darkness or the situation or the bondage that we are in, that we recognize that. And once we recognize that, that he truly is our shepherd, that he truly is our provider, we also should recognize the fact that I shall not want, meaning that I should not lack anything, that God is Jehovah Jireh, that he is our provider, and that he is our supplier, that we have need of nothing. The Bible says in Matthew 6, verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." That once you understand truly who God is, that he is the El Shaddai, that he is the Almighty God, that he is not lacking, that the lights in heaven do not dim whenever he has to bless you, but where he lives, the streets are paved with gold, his resources are infinite and unlimited, that whatever you need, God can do it, that the Lord
truly is my shepherd, and I shall not want. And once you realize that aspect, that God can satisfy every single need, I'm not just talking about the financial aspects, but I'm talking about the very needs, the basic needs of the human condition of your soul. He can satisfy the emotional needs. He can satisfy the intellectual and mental needs. He can satisfy the physical needs. That the Bible says in Psalm 16:11 that thou wilt show me the path of life, for in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. That when in Christ Jesus I find true fulfillment, for in him I live and move and breathe and have my being. That he is a satisfactory God. We find that as we recognize Christ as our Savior, he fulfills all the needs of the sinful soul. In John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That the shepherd that's being described here in Psalm 23 is referring also even to Christ. In Psalm 107, verse 9, the Bible says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. That when I came to Jesus, that I was hungry, I was empty, I was destitute, I was void. But the Bible tells me in Matthew 5, 6, that blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And what did he fill me with? He filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And that Holy Spirit fills every nook and cranny and crevice and molecule of my body, satisfying every need that I have, that I should not want, nor should I hunger or thirst anymore. Don't ever say that you're hungry for God, because what you're actually denying is the fact that he ever filled you with the Holy Ghost. Don't say that you're thirsty anymore, because Jesus said, he that cometh to me shall not hunger anymore. He that believeth on me shall never thirst again. That when you drink from the rivers of living water from Christ, he satisfies every need. Come and dine, the master calleth. Come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude and turned water into wine, to the hungry he calleth now. Come and dine. Point number two. The Lord then leads us to a place where we can be fed and mature in the word. In Psalms 23 verse 2, it says that he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Jesus Christ referring to himself as the good shepherd. In John 10 verse 9, it says that I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. That once he has filled us with the Holy Spirit, he then takes us to a place that we can grow in our understanding of the word and feed upon the word of God, to mature in our walk with God. Jesus literally fulfilled this verse about leading us beside the still waters and making us to lie down in the green pastures in Mark chapter 6, where he fed the 5,000. Turn me to Mark chapter 6, verse 31 just for a minute. I want you to see this. Mark chapter 6, verse 31. It says, and he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. That these 5,000 individuals followed Jesus to this desert place. And the Greek word there for desert is eremos, which means an uncultivated region fit for pasturage, or a place for sheep to actually feed upon grass. Jesus literally led them to a place where there was green pastures where a sheep could literally feed. But when he got them there, since they weren't actually sheep, he didn't feed them with grass. Instead, he multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fishes and met their need even in the midst of a wilderness. God can meet you even in the midst of a wilderness place. He said in John 6 verse 10, and Jesus said, talking about the 5,000, make the men to sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. Now let me tell you something. Here's the application and the relevance to ourselves. When you get saved and you come to Christ and you recognize that the Lord is your shepherd, he's going to lead you to a place of isolation. He's going to call you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. He's going to call you out of your relationships and out of the friends that you used to kick it with, so he can lead you to a place where he can feed you truly upon his word. He led these 5,000 people to a deserted place where no one else could bother them. And then he showed them his miraculous power by multiplying 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And right now you may be wondering, why is everyone abandoning me? Why is everyone leaving me? Why am I here in this solitary place? God is saying, I'm trying to lead you beside the still waters. I'm trying to make you lie down beside the green pastures where there's nothing else left to feed on but my word and my spirit. I got to cut off all the phonies and the cronies that are in your life so that you would truly rely on me. Yeah, I got to lead you beside the still waters and the green pastures so that you would fully rely on me alone.
So God will take us to a desert place or a place of isolation where he can remove our dependency on other sources and feed us with a steady diet of the word.
The whole purpose now of God taking us on this journey is revealed in verse 3 of Psalms 23, where it says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So all of this, the Lord becoming our shepherd, the Lord satisfying all of our needs, the Lord leading us beside the still waters and making us to lie down in green pastures, was all for this particular point, that he would do this for his name's sake, that we are a product of Jesus Christ. Don't you know that it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature or a new creation. The old is passed away, all things have become new, that you were created, you are a byproduct of the relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you were created, God put a name, a brand name on you. And so then once he put his name on you, he had to take the product through some quality checks, through some testing to make sure that this conversion, this product is actually legit. We got to go through an evaluation process. We got to go through an analysis process. Why? Because the name's sake. Because God is not putting his name just on anything that's going to fail. But when God puts his name on something, it's going to succeed. We often talk about taking the Lord's name in vain. And we think that just means talking disrespectfully or irreverently of the Lord Jesus Christ. Know that when you went down in baptism, that you took upon him his name. And whenever you live a life that's contrary to the brand name that's on you, you have taken the name of Jesus on you in vain. Because the name of Jesus literally means he shall save his people. And when you're living a lifestyle contrary to that salvation, that saving name that reaches to the muck and the miry clay, and puts us on a rock to stay, that causes our sins, which were once red like crimson, hallelujah, and red like scarlet, to be white as wool. When you start living a life, speaking a conversation, doing things contrary to that name, you are taking the name of Jesus in vain.
So we got to go through some quality checks. Just like any product that's out there, any product that's manufactured by any company has to go through quality checks and testing and evaluation and analysis to make sure that it's a good quality product, that when we deliver it to the consumer, that it does what it's supposed to do. And when Jesus brought us out, he put his name on us. And he's trying right now to take us through an evaluation process. We see in Psalm 66, verse 2, sing forth the honor of his name, make his praise glorious, that when we got the name of Jesus applied to our lives, that our testimony, our walk with God is basically advertisement of the product of the brand name. When you see a car driving down the street and has the name Ford on it, or Chrysler, or Toyota, you're seeing the product, but you're also seeing the power of the name of the company that had the ability to manufacture such a product. And when people look at you, they ought to be able to see the brand name that's on you. Who manufactured you? Who created you? Why do you speak the way that you speak? Why do you live the way that you live? Let me tell you who made me. Let me tell you where I came from. I came from Jesus. He put his name on me and made me the way that I am. The Bible says in Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Don't you understand that your lifestyle is not just some haphazard accident? It's not just something that we just go willy-nilly through life, but we are to live purposely with the name of Jesus at the forefront, that everything I say and do in public or in private will come out to the surface, and I am representing, I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ the righteous, that whatever we do, whether we're on the job, whether we're pumping gas, whether we're eating at a restaurant and greeting our waiter or our waitress,
Whether we're buying something from Walmart, we're supposed to be doing it in the name of Jesus, representing him, showing forth his glory and his goodness, his mercy, his peace, his joy to this world, this dark world that's so desperate and in need of light. Now, here's the thing now. Remember now, this path that we're on, it sounds good, okay. Still waters, green pastures, all great. Got the name stamped on me. But then we get to verse 4 where it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. They comfort me. Now, hear the thing. We went from green pastures and still waters to a valley where there is death. And the Bible said that this is a path of righteousness. That the path of righteousness is not a bed of roses. The path of righteousness is not easy peasy. It's not just peaches and cream. But the path of righteousness will lead you to places of danger, will lead you to places of isolation, will lead you to places of abandonment, where people will talk about you negatively, where people will try to malign you and slander your name and your reputation, where people might even try and fight you and come against you with all manner of wickedness and evil. But the thing is, it's all for the name's sake. It's all for the name's sake. I'm going through this because I've got a name and it must be tested. Jesus Christ himself, who was the prototype, who was the very first one to be born amongst many brethren, as the scripture says, he went through sufferings. He went through testings. Pharisees were constantly quizzing him regarding his knowledge of the scriptures, trying to entrap him in his word, trying to get him or trying to kill him on multiple occasions. But no matter what they did, the name of Jesus rose above the situation. And even when they killed him and buried him 6 feet under in a tomb, they could not keep the name of Jesus out of the situation. His name was too high. His name was too good. His name was too great to be stuck inside of the ground. And because his name is on you, you can't stay down either. That no matter what you're going through, the name of Jesus rises to the top. It's for his name's sake. It's easy to worship God and say hallelujah and thank you, Jesus, when you're feeding by the green pastures and you're lying beside the still waters. But can you still say, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me, when you're going through the valley of the shadow of death? Can you still be faithful to God and say, even though that the doctor says I got cancer, that I can still worship God and still be faithful to God? God's going to take you through some quality checks sometimes. Some quality checks. The Bible says in Matthew 10:24 that the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. The fact of the matter is that because Jesus was righteous, because Jesus was incarnate God, and that his light it convicted those that were in darkness, that there was persecution that was brought against him. And because the servant is not greater than the master, you cannot avoid persecution. You cannot avoid the wickedness of the enemy that will come against you. That yea, all that live godly will suffer persecution. That because Jesus had to suffer for having such an amazing name, for having such righteousness, then you're also going to have to suffer because you carry the name of Jesus Christ. But I got some hope for you, because the Bible says in Romans 8:16 that the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. That the Bible describes us as being joint heirs with Christ. Being a joint heir means that whatever he inherits, I inherit. And so that when Christ inherited suffering and persecution, I should also expect to inherit suffering and persecution for living a holy and righteous life. But the thing is, it also says that Jesus was glorified on the third day with all power in his hand. And because I'm a joint heir with Christ and he received power and glory, then I'm also going to receive power and glory, because I'm a joint heir. Whatever he gets, I get. And so when he got the power over death, hell, and the grave, I got the power of death over death, hell, and the grave. When he had the power to conquer sickness, Jesus gave unto me the power to conquer sickness. Whatever he gets, I get. Why? Because it's for his name's sake. Don't you understand? I did not bring you out here to let you die. You've come too far to turn back now. Don't you understand that God has got his name writing on you? Meaning that if you fail, that must mean the name of Jesus fails. And God is not a man that he should lie, neither is the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? That God's name is perfect. God's name is righteous. And because he's got his name on you, and his name is tied to you, his reputation is tied to you, he's not going to let you fall. He's not going to let you fail, because his name is on you. It's all for his name's sake. It's for his name's sake. No, I'm not going to let the devil beat you today, because my name is on you. I'm not going to go down like that. I'm not going to be defeated like that, because my name is riding on you succeeding in life. My name is riding on you being a witness for me. My name is riding on you being an ambassador for me. I need to make sure you succeed. And that's why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth me. Romans 8:31 says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Because his name is on you. You're wondering, why is everyone coming against me? Why is all hell breaking loose? Why can I get the job? Why are the bills getting paid? Why is all this trouble coming in my house? Why is the enemy coming with all this stuff? It's because that the enemy is trying to tarnish the name of Jesus. But his name is above every name. For at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess to the glory of God the Father. For Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name among men given among men, no other name above heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Don't you understand? God's got his name writing on you. It's for his name's sake. It's for his name's sake. Praise God. You know, his name is so great. It's the greatest name. It said that God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. Every name. Every name. His name defeats and outweighs or it outranks any name. Any name that's out there. I had an interesting discussion with a Hebrew Israelite who was trying to tell me that Jesus could not be the God of the Old Testament because his name is not there. Because there's no J-E-S-U-S in the Old Testament. I said, I beg to differ. I said, what you don't understand is that Jesus is the English translation of the Greek word Iesus. Iesus is the Greek translation of the Hebrew word Yeshua. And so whenever you are seeing the word, I'm going to take you to some scripture. Go to Psalm 27 verse 1 real quick. I said, you don't understand. Jesus' name is everywhere throughout the book. In Psalm 27 verse 1, I pointed this out to him. I said, look at this. Psalm 27 verse 1 says, the Lord, or the Yahweh, the Jehovah, is my light and my salvation. That word in the Hebrew for salvation is Yeshua. For he shall save his people. The Lord is my light and my Yeshua. The Lord is my light and my Jesus. Whom shall I fear? Why? Because my Jesus is with me. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Every time in the scripture, when you see the word salvation, you are seeing the name Yeshua, which is the name of Jesus, because he shall save his people. God would not leave the world without a witness. And his name was all over the Bible. Because his name is riding on us. Hallelujah. I want to end with this point. That the name of Jesus can save you no matter what it is. The cool thing about the name of Jesus is that he can refurbish or renew, restore, if you want to put it that way, no matter what the product is. It could be the worst jalopy it is, and Jesus can fix it up and then put his name on it and say, Jesus was here. You ever gone through walking through a park, you went to a public bathroom, and someone's name was written all over there? So, you know, so-and-so was here. The reason why that we have to have the name of Jesus, because it shows that he's here. It shows that he's here. It's what makes us different from other religions. It shows that our God is in us and with us. He abides in us forever. It's all for his name's sake. It is all for his name's sake. So now, here's the thing. I want to get to the last few verses here. In verse number 5, it's in Psalm 23, verse 5. It says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." Jesus literally fulfilled this on the day of Pentecost. He prepared a table, even though it was Jesus had been crucified and the Jews were trying to kill all the followers of Jesus. On the day of Pentecost, Jesus poured out his oil on those that were there in the upper room till their cup ran over, till they began to speak a new language. We call that speaking other tongues. And the noise was broadcast abroad where 3,000 individuals were brought and were saved, even in the midst of tribulation and persecution. Jesus brought this into our lives. He filled our cups till they ran over. And that Jesus, he baptizes us with the Holy Ghost and fire. That John the Baptist, he said that I baptize with water, but he that cometh after me, he baptizes with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And that even in the midst of sin, even in the midst of tribulation and all the problems that are going on, God wants to prepare a table in the midst of your enemies. And he wants to anoint your head with his oil of the Holy Spirit till your cup runs over. Verse 6, it says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now the thing is, this whole psalm starts off with the Lord being my shepherd. So the way that you get goodness and mercy to follow you is that you got to follow the shepherd. If you want goodness and mercy to follow you, God's blessings to overtake you, then you need to follow the shepherd. In order to be a good leader of the goodness and mercy, you got to be a good follower of Jesus Christ, who is the origin of that goodness and mercy. And so the fact of the matter is, it says in 1 Corinthians 11, 1, "Be followers of me, even also as I am of Christ." If you want the goodness and the mercy to follow you, if you want that blessing to follow you, then you've got to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Let's stand. I'm going to close. It's for his name's sake. It's for his name's sake. God's got a lot riding on you. You may think that you're insignificant, that you're unimportant, but you're not. He's got someone's eternity riding on you. Who you talk to or who you interact with could mean heaven or hell for somebody. His name is on you. We need to remember that his name is on us. That name is the most maligned and slandered and tarnished name in existence. The name of Jesus has been drugged through every scandal and every controversy you can imagine. Whole doctrines and theories and philosophies have been invented just to try and to debunk and try to slander that name. Well, no matter what they come up with, the name of Jesus still overcomes it. His name has been consistently preached for over 2,000 years, and it's not going anywhere. They've tried to kill people who believe in his name. They burned them at the stakes. They drawn and quartered them, boiled them in hot oil, fed them to wild beasts in order to get rid of the name, threatened and in prison and saying, "Nope, don't preach or talk anymore about this name." But this name keeps coming to the surface. This name keeps coming out because it's the greatest name there is. It is superior to any name. And this name can save you, because that's what its whole purpose was. Its whole purpose, the whole purpose of the name was for salvation. The Lord is my Yeshua. It says in Psalm 91, 16. Actually, go to verse number 10. Go to Psalm 91, 10. Let me get this on the screen. It says, "There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling." Verse 11. "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." Verse 12, "They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample the feet." Now, let's just stop here for a minute. It talks about that this individual, that he is able to overcome shortcomings, that even when he falls, that the angels will bear him up, that this individual has the power to tread on lions and serpents and overcome any adversary that comes. Now, go to the next verse, verse 14. "Because he has set his love upon me,
Therefore I deliver him. I will set him on high. Why? Because he hath known my name. Because I know his name, I have the ability to walk on serpents and dragons. Because I know his name, that when I fall off a cliff, the angel shall bear me up, lest I dash my foot against a stone. Verse 15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. Jesus said that if you ask anything in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He says, I will be with him in trouble. Oh, why? Because he knows the name. I will deliver him and honor him. Verse 16. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my Yeshua. With long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation, my Yeshua. I will show you who I am. Why? Because he's known the name. Do you know the name of Jesus? Not just in a capacity to sell it, to say it or to spell it, but have you experienced the name of Jesus being applied to you? Experienced his love and his mercy and his grace. The name of Jesus carries the full characteristics and attributes of God. Inside of Jesus is the Prince of Peace, his peace. Peace like you've never known. Peace where you could be falling, you could be asleep, and the next day you have to be executed like Peter. Peace. In the name of Jesus, there is joy. There is joy beyond description. Matter of fact, the Bible says it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy that will make you laugh even while your house is burning down. That's my parents' testimony. Joy that will make you laugh even when you've wrecked your car. You can just laugh because the joy of the Lord is my strength. My joy doesn't come from my car anyway. My joy comes from the fact that my name is written in the Lamb's book of life. That it took my sins away. You can find love. Love like you cannot imagine. A love that never fails. A love that never abandons you. A love that never gives up. Endureth all things. Hopeth all things. Beareth all things. Thinks no evil. Is not puffed up. Vaunteth not itself. A love that will love you for better and for worse. In sickness and in health. And death cannot do your part. Because if you should die, you come to him anyway. Love. Love that will keep loving you even at your worst. Even when you're despicable and you should be rejected and trampled, he'll still love you. It's all found in the name of Jesus. Healing is found in the name of Jesus. Healing from every sickness and disease. Healing from every hurt and every wound can be found at the name of Jesus. That at his name the devils, they tremble and quake. His name is supreme. You can find whatever you need in the name of Jesus. You just need to believe it. And once you believe it, the Lord says, I will show you my Yeshua. I will show you myself. I will show you my salvation. Why? Because it's for my name's sake. God likes taking the worst case scenario and fixing up and putting his name on it to show you this is what I am. And God can fix it. If you would just believe, he's as near as the mention of his name. Can somebody say it with me? Say Jesus today. Didn't that feel good just to say his name? The devil that was on you backed up a few sips. I think I want to say it again. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. That's what blind Bartimaeus said. It got his attention. And that man walked away seeing. You can walk away seeing, because once you were blind, but now you can see. God, if you do not have that name applied to your life, God wants to apply that name today. God wants to apply that name to you today. You just need to believe it and receive it. If you do have that name applied, but perhaps the enemy has been attacking you and you've been discouraged, don't worry about it. You're going to come through it. His name is going to carry you through it. His name is going to carry you through it. I'm trying to tell you, his name is going to carry you through it. Whatever desert you're in, whatever valley of shadow of death you're in, his name is going to carry you through it, because his name never fails. His name never fails. I open these altars today. If you want to receive the name of Jesus, You can do so today. You can repent of your sins and give yourself over to Christ. Allow his name to be applied. Perhaps the name that is associated with your identity, with your reputation, is not a good one. Perhaps that people associate you with negative names. Liar, cheater, blasphemer, thief. They might associate you with being some loose, promiscuous person. Drug addict, rapist, molester, whatever. That's the name that's been put over you. God's saying, I want to adopt you. And I want to give you a new name. And with that new name comes with all the rights and privileges that are in that name. God wants to change your name. He wants to change your identity. Salvation is not just a destiny to heaven, but it's a change in identity of who you were. I offer you this opportunity. Come and receive the name.